betrayal of Jesus. One of the most difficult stories to be read throughout the New Testament is the story of Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Judas is a tragic character. He's a difficult character for the history of the church. He's been a difficult character, especially because so many people have taken him and taken his betrayal of Jesus and used it as a pretext in order to vilify and attack Jews. And in the history of Europe, this was a serious problem. Jews who had nothing to do with the death of Jesus were blamed for it. And indeed, even if you read the story itself, Judas himself betraying Jesus to the leaders of the people, the priests who run the temple, the representatives of the people, not the people themselves. They were afraid of the people, the Jewish people. The people who ran the temple were afraid of them because they supported Jesus. That's why they wanted to get rid of him. They loved Jesus more than them. Judas is a tragic figure. Tragic because he's almost as if he's playing a role. He's playing a role that's necessary to be played in order for the entire story to be carried to its conclusion. For Jesus to die, he needs to be betrayed. Without the betrayal, there can be no arrest, there can be no unjust trial, there can be no conviction, there can be no presentation before Pilate, there can be no scourging, there can be no crown of thorns, there can be no trip to Golgotha, there can be no crucifixion, there can be no death. Without the betrayal, the story does not move forward. Hence, in many respects, Judas is indeed a tragic figure, a tragic character. In terms of literary character, is extremely tragic, for he, it is described in many different places as he either doing it for money or because the devil has moved into him, or both. In other words, we would say he's doing it because he's mentally ill, or because he has a different understanding of the function and nature of messiahship, or because he felt that Jesus wasn't fulfilling his role and duty as the Messiah. Messiahs don't die. Messiahs don't give themselves up. Messiahs are victorious over the occupation of the Romans. Messiahs are victorious over the evils of the priests in the temple. They don't give themselves up to die. So maybe if I push him, Judas thought, maybe if I push him and move his hand, he will respond and become that victorious Messiah we're all expecting. The speculation as to the nature of this character and the reasons why Judas did what he did have filled literature for centuries. Back during the late 1900s and the early 20th century, writers and scholars, one like Bultmann, speculated as to why Judas did what he did. But the biblical accounts seem to be all over the place. In some places, it seems as though he's a zealot for what he believes is the right course. In other places, it just looks like he's a money grubber wanting to steal from the common purse. In another place, it's clear that the Holy Spirit of God, while with the disciples, nevertheless left Judas vulnerable. And in two versions of the story, Satan enters him for him to go and betray Jesus. In every instance, however, if we look at this story, if we examine the betrayal of Jesus, and we do so divorced from our own role in the story, we miss the point of all the author's approach. We miss the point of the story. If we fail to look at ourselves, if we only look at Judas, if we only look at the Jews, if we only look at the Romans, we fail to see ourselves. We miss the point. In the story, Judas is distraught from what he'd done. When he sees that Jesus has been arrested, when he sees that it's not going to happen, he goes and he takes the money over in Matthew's gospel. He takes the money he has received and he throws it at the Jewish leaders. Here, take your money back. Release him. I've committed a great sin by turning him over to you. Here's the money back. We don't want it, they said. And if you've committed a sin, go take care of it yourself. What a hypocritical thing to say. For the priests of the people who are responsible for making restitution for the sins of the people, here's a sin they've driven this guy into doing and they paid him to do, and now they want to divorce themselves from it. And distraught with anguish and desiring to make restitution for his sin and desiring to repent, it is the only thing he can think of doing. He sacrifices himself. He dies as a sacrifice of himself for what he had done. It's a very painful story. One that we usually overlook when we talk about Judas. We look at the money. We look at the desire. We look at his own understanding. But not at the anguish that he must have felt. And the anguish that truly is present amongst the rest of the disciples. Taking a look at this theme of betrayal, as I said, if we miss our own participation in it, we miss the whole point of the story. That's brought clear over in Matthew's gospel in chapter 26. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." Now he's eating with the 12. That means Judas is there. This is the Lord's Supper, by the way. And they became greatly distressed and began to say to one another, "Surely not I." And Jesus answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." Well, you know, Jesus, we've all dipped our hands into the bowl with you. The bitter herbs that are being passed around to be eaten with the unleavened bread in the Passover Seder. You pass the bread around. You pass the herbs around. It's kind of like a dip. And everybody has taken and dipped into the bowl. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. Judas, who betrayed him, thank you, Matthew, for telling us that. Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus said, "You have said so. Surely not I, Rabbi. You have said so." Yes, you. Every one of those disciples around that table have dipped into that bowl with him. Every one of those disciples at that table would eventually deny him or betray him. And Judas had his own role to play, his own encounter with evil to face, his own anguish and pain at his betrayal, and for centuries, the finger of accusation to bear. And yet, we miss the point if we don't see in Judas a little bit of ourselves. How have we betrayed Jesus. As we start Lent this year, I want us to start by looking at the question of betrayal. How have we participated in the betrayal of Jesus? How have we, as a people, as a nation, as a species, as a culture, as a society, as a denomination, as a church, how have we as individuals betrayed Jesus? Well, I haven't betrayed Jesus. Really? When was the last time you chose your own agenda, your own understanding, your own ideas, your own desires, your own will ahead of what Jesus wants you to do? Well, Jesus is unpractical. Jesus doesn't understand the realities of living in the 21st century. Jesus doesn't understand that if you turn the other cheek, they're going to chop it off. Can't love everybody. Really? Jesus could. And Jesus calls us to love God and neighbor as self. When have we? I want you to personalize it and put it into the first person. I want you to ask yourself this question. When have I betrayed Jesus? In my hopes, in my dreams, in my plans, in my agenda, in my understanding, in my attempt to twist and spin things to make it match what I want it to say and be. I want you to personalize it this Lent and ask the question for yourself. Where and when have I betrayed Jesus? And as you come to the table of the Lord today and receive the sacrament of His amazing real presence, I want you to face that betrayal and place it in Christ's hands and receive the forgiveness that we so desperately need, that will make it possible for us to get beyond the betrayal and start serving again. Like Judas, we have all betrayed Jesus. And that anguish, if it's not addressed, if it's not handed over to God, if it's not confessed to Jesus, and if it's not dealt with, that anguish will so surely destroy us too. So I ask you, I invite you, I implore you, to ask yourself this question and commit it to God. Where, when, and how have I, yourself asking yourself, where, when, and how have I betrayed Jesus? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.